Okay, yeah, well, this was, I mean, the immediate thought was to play, you know, the one of the best known kind of anti-war records ever recorded, which is Edwin Starr's War. And I thought, well, why not? I think my first message to Jen was to say, well, you know, this isn't just about us playing stuff that no one's ever heard before. It's also about what we're listening to. But then in doing a little, just kind of listening around Edwin Starr a little bit more, I have to say for the first time, this record, which is called Stop the War Now. Is Stop the War Now, and I think it came out in now I'm not even sure I know this. I think it could have been 1971, maybe a year after the release of War, and it's obviously a derivative, an intentionally derivative record, and it didn't become as well known as War. But I think it works well. I think it's a good record. I like the kind of Stop the War Now. There is this thing about the Vietnam War that just always, it was just this incredibly long war.
Yeah,
it goes back.
True.
It went back to 1955. The early part where I was, you know, going through a separation with Enrica, my ex-wife, and one of the first things I did with my daughters. Never did anything like it before. Probably will never do anything like it again. But it was just a sort of felt like the right thing to do at the time was to just go on a trip with them. I guess they must have been maybe 17 and 14 at the time, and it felt like a good opportunity. We went to Vietnam anyway. Which is a beautiful country with an incredibly just lovely, lovely people. And we didn't go, we didn't spend much time in Ho Chi Minh City, but we did visit the war museum there. Of course, it's not known as the Vietnam War there. And it's unbelievably shocking. And also riveting kind of museum. The full scale of US imperialism is laid bare, of course, and it's the horror tactics it was using against the Vietnamese. Anyway, it was there that I feel like I first properly understood just the kind of how elongated this conflict was. I mean, stretching over, it was a 20-year war. This was the incredible thing about the Vietnamese, was that, you know, the country has been almost permanently occupied until 1975 by different kind of, you know, neighboring powers, and then the United States and the French. And yet they were, I mean, this will sound like a cliche, and it may even sound problematic, but it's not really, but there was this, like, there was an incredible sense of optimism and happiness in the country.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not saying it was a state of mind per se, but it just, that was one of the really striking things, that despite all this hardship, all of this kind of, you know, being at the brunt of sort of colonial kind of strategies, it was, you know, there was this sense of spirit and goodwill and, you know, embrace of outsiders and all the rest of it. Anyway, getting back to Edwin Starr, what's to say? He's just this kind of, he's this incredibly powerful vocalist. He was produced by Norman Whitfield, who is fast becoming he's one of everyone's favorite producers. So maybe I'd say he's fast becoming one of my absolute favorite producers. You know, this this psychedelic soul, the whole period of psychedelic soul. It's just like totally incredible. It's just extraordinary, really. I've been listening a lot to Smiling Faces recently. For example, The Temptations, which is it's just very powerful. So Norman Whitfield produced War. It's got, you know, it was originally, I didn't know this actually, it was originally it was recorded as a Temptations track. Re-recorded with Edwin Starr, whose vocals were deemed to be kind of, you know, more sort of, you know, powerful and vigorous than the original Temptations recording. His came out. And it was a huge, it was like, it's become, I mean, it's such an obvious thing to sort of be talking about, really, but it's obviously one of the most popular protest songs of all time. Number one for quite a while, explicitly anti-Vietnam.
Yeah, I've always really liked that track, is all I can say. I sort of like that. I've sort of sometimes liked that one better than War, What Is It Good For? Because the idea that as an abstract concept, war is bad, it's true, but it always risks a certain banality. Whereas Stop the War Now is an urgent and immediate demand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's more like just like going on a demo, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. I did mean to say, and I completely forgot to say that, you know, this is also partly picked in honor of David Mancuso. David was playing this record, you know, the Edwin Starr and you know, any other anti-war record he could lay his hands on. He was very active in the anti-war movement. You know, he was supportive of other movements as well. There's no question, especially civil rights. And he supported all liberation movements, although the two he was most committed to were civil rights and the anti-war movement. And he said to me many times, you know, during interviews, how, you know, for him there was a complete continuum from protesting on the street to going to the party. And he said that, you know, often they would do, you know, they would do the same thing in one day. They'd go on a demonstration, and then later on that evening they would party.
Yeah.
You know, life is a dance, and you move and you dance on the demo, and you get collective energy and even collective joy and a sense of the power to resist. And, you know, a different form of that can happen on the dance floor. So one of the attractions to David was, of course, that, you know, not only was he just like incredible taste in music and transformed what it could mean to be a DJ or a musical host and the range of music and the goal of those selections and the deliberately created utopian environment that was all about indeed peace and tolerance and inclusivity and etc. So it was all, you know, I always kind of thought that, you know, the fact that he also took this into and was considered himself to be a political activist was it wasn't particularly rare for his time, although there weren't that many DJs who were as political as him. But now it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know, I've got, you know, we've all do our things in different places. Now I feel like I'd, you know, if I said some things, I'd, you risk, you know, you it's not so easy to say these things today almost. I mean, I'm saying David was brave, basically. Maybe the era he was operating in was also more clearly politicized and left wing.